From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, January 13th, 2026. Two Maine Department of Transportation workers were killed and a third injured this morning in a crash on I-95 in Waterville. Carol Bousquet reports.
Investigators say 34-year-old Samantha Tupper ran the stop sign in a bridge construction zone and attempted to enter the passing lane on I-95 southbound. She was hit by a tractor trailer, which forced her minivan into the work zone, striking three state transportation workers. Police say 60-year-old James Brown and 51-year-old Dwayne Campbell, both of Waterville, were propelled over the bridge and onto Kennedy Memorial Drive below. They were pronounced dead at the scene. A third worker was transported to a local hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Tupper was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Two young children in the vehicle were not injured. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Carol Bousquet.
Meantime, Maine Turnpike Director Andre Briere says driver speed and inattention are major safety issues for highway construction crews.
Over the past 5 years, we've had almost 3,000 work zone crashes. 2,979 to be exact. That was as of a couple months ago. And I wish I could say that count wasn't increasing.
Briere said on Maine Calling today that a study this summer revealed that between 65 and 75% of vehicles driving through work zones were going in excess of 11 miles an hour over the speed limit. He says he's supporting legislation that would establish automated speed enforcement in work zones by capturing images of license plates on speeding vehicles. Former gubernatorial candidate Elliot Cutler turned himself in to authorities earlier today after being accused of once again violating his probation. Kevin Miller has more.
Cutler was convicted in 2023 of 4 counts of possession of sexually explicit materials involving children under age 12. He served less than a year of a 4-year sentence as part of a plea agreement. But in October, Cutler's probation officer accused him of violating the terms of his probation by accessing sexually explicit materials online. He was allowed to stay out of jail after paying a $1,000 bail bond last month. But on Monday, Cutler was accused in court documents of once again violating those terms of his probation on December 28th and on January 2nd. Cutler's attorney, Walt McKee, confirmed that his client turned himself in at the Hancock County Jail on Tuesday. McKee says his client denies the allegations. Cutler, an attorney who ran for governor twice as an independent, is scheduled to appear in court on January 26th. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Secretary of State Shenna Bellows has turned over the investigation into 250 absentee ballots that were improperly delivered to a Newburgh resident last September to the state attorney general's office. Speaking to the legislature's Veterans and Legal Affairs Committee yesterday, Bellows said the AG's office is the designated agency to bring action against violations to election law.
I have full confidence that they and law enforcement will get to the bottom of this. I will promise you that no one wants answers more than I do. This is a very serious matter.
Bellows says that the town of Ellsworth received a box with missing ballots the same day the Newburgh resident received ballots in an Amazon box. She says a third-party organization in Maryland also received Maine absentee return envelopes. Several thousand Somali immigrants in the U.S. could soon face deportation after the Trump administration today announced it's terminating temporary protected status for the African nation. But as Aria Snyder reports, the effect on communities in Maine is unclear.
TPS is intended to provide relief to people from countries experiencing violence, natural disasters, or other conditions preventing safe return. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem said in a written announcement Tuesday that conditions in Somalia had improved enough to end protections and that allowing Somali nationals to remain in the U.S. was, quote, contrary to our national interests. An official DHS notice cites high-profile examples of fraud cases involving Somali defendants in Minnesota. According to the agency, there are an estimated 2,500 approved or pending Somali TPS applications. The Portland-based Immigrant Legal Advocacy Project says the exact number in Maine is unknown, but the group rejects the assertion that conditions have improved enough to allow safe return and says the termination is part of the administration's, quote, targeting of Somali communities in Minnesota and beyond. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
Small businesses and nonprofits in 12 of Maine's 16 counties that suffered economic impacts from last summer's severe drought are now eligible to apply for low-interest federal disaster loans. The loans are for up to $2 million, with interest rates as low as 4%. Small businesses in all but Androscoggin, Cumberland, Franklin, and Oxford counties are eligible to apply. The declaration for York County covers economic losses incurred later at the end of October. The Small Business Administration says the loans can be used to pay outstanding debts, payroll, and other bills directly related to the drought. Federal loans are also available for some small businesses in Maine affected by abnormally rainy and cold conditions last May. The Maine Supreme Judicial Court has affirmed a lower court's decision that maintains access to Popham Beach. The case centered on a dispute between two neighbors who have owned beachfront property for generations. Richard Tappan purchased a parcel of land that cut in front of his neighbor, Clark Hill's cottage, then sued Hill and his family for trespassing back in 2022. A lower court found that Hill had an implied easement that allows recreational use of the beach. Hill's attorney, Benjamin Ford, says he's thrilled that the law court agrees.
The decision is important because Maine has become the focal point for disputes over access and use of waterfront land.
The law court is also considering a separate case about public access to Moody Beach in Wells. And starting this week, those who own short-term rentals in Maine's unorganized territory will have to notify the state's Land Use Planning Commission of their rental plans. The new rule, which went into effect January 12th, is the result of a years-long public process, the commission says. It undertook in response to the increase of short-term rentals in the unorganized territories. It applies to both new and existing short-term rentals, which are defined as a dwelling unit or single residential campsite that's rented for a fee of 30 consecutive days or less. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, a public health update. I'm Nicole Ugrisco. Thanks for listening.